shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. We've got the guest that you all want to hear from. He's got himself in trouble now with the British Army. He's in trouble with the British courts. It's probably easier just to say he's in trouble with the British establishment. It is, of course, Tommy Robinson who joins me now.
Shooting from the Lip.
Good afternoon, Tommy.
Good afternoon, John.
Tell me then, Tommy, let's start first of all with the latest controversy, the British Army. Where did you meet those guys?
I met them at Watford Gap Services. I don't understand the controversy around it. I met them at Watford Gap Services. There was four coaches. They asked for a photo. I took my photo of them. They were very respectful. None of them mentioned politics. None of them mentioned about anything about Islam. They're 17 years old, John. Okay, many of them. I started my activism 10 years ago when they were 7 years old. How much do they really know about me? Probably not a lot. Probably only recent actions. And they'll probably know that I was wrongfully imprisoned and unlawfully imprisoned for talking about Muslim paedophile rape gangs. So that's probably their knowledge, their level of knowledge. They probably see me as an I am a journalist, but they probably see me as seeing anyone else who's in the public domain, in the public sphere. And they ask for a photo and that's it. I don't see what the big controversy is around it.
Is it true they were shouting, "Whoa, Tommy Robinson"? Was the chanting going on?
There was chanting going on, John. Let me read you. This is from the military website. Respect for others, both those inside and outside of our organisation, is not only a legal obligation, it's a fundamental principle of the freedom that our society enjoins. Teams that embrace diversity and value each individual for their contribution and viewpoint are always stronger for it. We must treat everyone we encounter as we would wish to be treated. That's from the Army website. That's their own guidelines. They treated me with respect. I treated them with respect. I don't see the issue here.
Was there no conversation about Islam or politics? Are you sure?
None at all. None at all. And I actually said to the young lads, I said, lads, I don't want you to get in trouble with this. When I say, John, there's a picture now of 20 young men. I had my picture taken with hundreds there. Hundreds. Every single military member took their picture. I've actually been contacted today by three different regiments who are telling me to come to their barracks and they want to come outside and have their photo taken.
So you must have been shocked then when the army said they were going to investigate and they took the phones off these young lads.
It's unbelievable. They've seized their phones. They've had a photo taken with someone. I just cannot understand. If they'd had their photo taken, do you know what all this has come from? The Muslim Council of Britain. The Muslim Council of Britain have made a complaint and the army are pandering to them. Just so that people understand, the Muslim Council of Britain, a few years ago, signed a statement, a declaration, that said that British armed forces are legitimate targets for suicide bombings in Iraq. This is who they're pandering to. This is who they're pandering to. Now, there would be no calls for anyone to be disciplined or investigated if they had their photo taken with Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn has said Hamas, who are a proscribed terrorist organisation, are his friends. He's been to the funerals of Islamic jihadi terrorists who killed multiple Jews. I really don't understand. It's the pure hypocrisy. It's the establishment coming down full weight. They want to make me a pariah. They don't want it to be acceptable to talk about me, be seen with me, mention me. They want you to lose your career, your pension and your job if you do so, to send a warning to the rest of the country. That's what this is.
Do you think it'll work or do you think it'll backfire? Because there's been an explosion of people supporting you on social media again.
It's going to completely backfire. I think we're probably at, I haven't checked, but 2 hours ago, our petition was at 50,000 people. When we see instances like this, for example, Sky News run big headlines that 10,000 people had signed a petition. They had it up for a week. 10,000 people had signed a petition to have a political leaders debate.
Yeah, that's right.
And that headline went all over their news. Well, 50,000 people have signed a petition in less than 12 hours.
What is the petition question?
The petition question is that these men, there should be no witch hunt against any member of our armed forces for taking a picture with whoever they please. Now, they say, again, the narrative being pumped by the media is that these young men have had their photo taken with a far-right activist. Okay, they give no evidence. None of them can ever give any evidence or any backup to what makes me far-right.
Do you deny that you're far-right?
John, my views are very liberal, very liberal, in the sense that the core tenets and the teachings of Islam are misogynistic, anti-women, Okay, they're homophobic. I'm pro women's rights. I'm pro gay rights. I'm pro free speech. I'm pro, and that is something that Islam does not allow, free speech. It does not allow freedom of religion because you cannot leave. It's punishable by death. This is what I don't understand. The army come out and make a statement saying that our core teachings and beliefs and our values. Well, I don't understand how Islam fits into those values.
Okay, so the army are the hypocrites in this. The army are the far right, the army top brass. They are the people who are being fascist about this and stopping free speech. Is that what you're saying?
The army top brass, so that we can understand, is, John, we've just seen the news in the UK. When Khalid Massoud done a Westminster Bridge attack, the top ranking Metropolitan Police officer sat in his car. Absolutely. And locked his doors with two other officers, and they watched as one of their colleagues, now they swear an oath.
Now, hold on a minute. Two of them weren't police officers, but the general point is right. So Craig Mackey basically f***ed his pants, let's be honest about this, and didn't get out of the car. It's a disgrace. He should have his knighthood taken away from him. He shouldn't get his pension, and he should be booted out of the police. I'm with you on that one, Tommy Robinson.
I'm comparing him to the people who are driving this campaign within the army. Your average army officer, your average police officer would have fought and died next to their fellow comrade. Like your average police officer, whether they were scared or not. Okay. Now we get told in this country, if you look at Israel, we get told to run and hide. Yeah, run and hide. Okay.
In Israel, is that Islam or is that Islamist? Because I want to ask you this question: are you anti-Islam or are you anti-Islamist, or is there no difference in your worldview?
I'm pro-freedom, and if you're pro-freedom, you're going to clash with Islam, because the more Islam, the less freedom. Islam doesn't allow freedom. So when we say Islamist, this is a whole new word that's been created. And it's been created in our generation so that people feel comfortable criticising Islam. That's how weak we've become. When you look at previous world leaders, they never spoke about Islamism or Islamist. They didn't talk about interpretations of Islam. They called Islam out for what it was, a warlike religion, a warlike ideology. It's because of my liberal views that I oppose Islam. I oppose the fascism, the violence. So
is a very simple question. I want a pretty simple answer to this if I can, because I want to get on to the so much I want to talk to you about on Shooting from the Lip here on Sputnik. Is Islam incompatible then with 21st century tolerant Britain?
Yes, completely. And that's not saying that every Muslim is incompatible with living in our countries, because the majority of Muslims do not take the scripture literally.
Right.
And many Muslims treat Islam like a buffet. They take the bits they look like and they take the bits they don't like.
It's a bit like Roman Catholics used to be.
Similar, yeah. But the problem comes when a Muslim wants to live as the Prophet Muhammad did, because he was violent, he murdered, he raped, he pillaged. Now, if they believe he is and they take the scripture word for word, that's where we have the problem. So the European Court of Human Rights done an in-depth study into Sharia, and they found that Sharia, which is Islam, is incompatible with Western freedom and democracy due to their views on women, their views on homosexual. This is not obviously this is the European Court of Human Rights done this. So yes, it is compatible. It is incompatible.
Okay.
The ideology, it's like oil and water, John. It's like oil and water.
Okay.
And the problem I have is that our authorities and our leaders knew this before they imported it into the 1400 years of history. All of the top clergy, top military, top political leaders, whether it be Sir Winston Churchill, whether it be Sir William Gladstone, they have all spoke openly and honestly about Islam. We've now entered into an era of deception, where the people whose job it is to educate the public about dangers and threats to our society and our people are actually deceiving us.
And do you feel now most people just can't talk or won't talk out about it because they'll get bunged off Twitter, bunged off Facebook, and indeed perhaps lose their job or not get promoted? And certainly within the media, you're not really allowed to talk about it. Is that your view?
Yeah, or they'll be put in prison, actually, now. That's where we're heading. It's not just worry. But that's how they have everyone. And these tactics that they're doing here to these young army recruits is part of that.
Okay.
They want everyone else in the army to see, this is what we'll do to you if you show your support or you express your freedom. They want these young men to sign up to our armed forces, to go and sacrifice and give their lives, fighting and suffering in faraway fields for other people's freedom and democracy and rights in other countries, yet they want to take theirs away in their own country. And then when they come and walk the streets of our country, they're expected to just walk and tolerate and rub shoulders with returning jihadist fighters from ISIS. And they can't understand why members of our armed forces, who are working class, who have been ill-treated, who have been forgotten and neglected by the establishment, would show any support and actually have some common ground with myself.
Okay, leave that there. Let's leave that there because we do want to get onto, in the second part of the programme, I want to get onto your court case and the rest of it. But before we get there, let's also now talk about Sky News. Is it true, I've watched both videos, both Jason's and yours, is it true you're now suing them? And is it true they have issued an apology? And tell people very quickly what the background is to that.
So Sky News asked me in for a sit-down exclusive interview. Now, I knew full well, and I know full well what the mainstream media are. And they're not there to report the news. They're there to either try and destroy you, try and discredit you, or give a different narrative and agenda that they have prior to the interview.
That's correct. Go on.
Before you sit down and give them questions and answers, they know where they want to go with it, and they have their goal of what they want to do with it. So the only reason why I sat down with them was to share this with the public. So I secretly recorded the entire interview.
Let me just clarify that. They didn't know you were recording.
No.
Okay, carry on.
I then waited for them to air their interview and see the headlines. And they run with a headline that said, Tommy Robinson doesn't care if he incites fear against Muslims. Yeah. And then I never said that. And then what they've done is they put a voiceover that said, Jason Farrell said, and I sat down and I asked Tommy Robinson about his views causing fear. He never asked me that. I was actually answering a question about a video in Holland in 2007.
And you can prove it, can you?
The whole lot is on camera. So they actually take my answer to a different question, they put a voiceover in, and they make it look like I'm answering the question he puts the voiceover in. They absolutely took out of context what I said, and they didn't just do that, but they changed two of the words on their headline that run. So I was talking about a video, so I said, I don't care if the video, causes fear to the young girls, yeah, as long as it educates them and warns them about rape. They changed the word it to I and incites to incite. So then it's a very different context. I don't care if I incite. So it's talking about me and myself and my views. That's what they changed the word into. Rather than me saying, I don't care if a video, incites fear of young girls into the young girls. They made it as though I was talking about my views causing fear against Muslims. And this is all 100% evidential by the video that I put up online. And not one media outlet in this country has reported on that.
Well, we're reporting on it here. We're reporting on here on Sputnik. So tell me then, you threatened to sue them. Have they apologised or are you still suing them?
I've got a meeting with lawyers on Tuesday. So what they've done is they've corrected their lies because they told six lies in the first 60 seconds of their report. Six lies.
Jesus.
Six non-factual things about me, about other rapes. It was all lies. So they've corrected them in an apology, but they haven't said we apologise for cut and pasting different questions. And absolutely, they invented a story. They're there to report the news, not invent the news.
Absolutely.
And no, they haven't apologised. They've actually deleted the video now. It's gone. It took them 8 days. It had hundreds of thousands of views. But the only good thing is from this, John, is my video showing what they've done has had well over 1.5 million views. Their video only had 200,000 anyway. This is why the mainstream media need to realise that the monopoly is no longer in their hands. It's in ours. It's in the public's. Citizen journalism and individual people sharing articles is what will bring them down. And they don't even realise the damage they're doing to themselves, their credibility and their trust when they do hatchet jobs and attempted smear campaigns like this. Because the public now, thanks to social media, see straight through it.
It's very interesting, Tommy. We keep a track on that here at Sputnik, of course. You're listening to Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt. It's on Sputnik International. My special guest today is Tommy Robinson. We've done the first half of the show. We're going to do the second half in a minute when we're going to be talking about Tommy's court case for contempt. We're going to talk about the fact that I called him an idiot. It could end up in fisticuffs. We're also going to be talking about this jihadist bride you may have heard about in the papers this week. She's been offered 7 council flats. She actually went to prison for terror-related incidents, and she's turned them all down. We'll talk about the so-called Beatles and whether they should go to the USA, and do we care what happens to them there? And we're going to talk about Tommy Robinson. Has he got these political ambitions to join UKIP? It's all coming up on Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt. A short break. Don't go away.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
You're back with John Gaunt. It's Shooting from the Lip with my special guest today, Tommy Robinson. OK, Tommy, let's move on. Let's talk about the court case. I called you an idiot for getting caught in what I thought was an establishment trap. Are you offended?
No, John, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And do you know what? I don't believe I was an idiot in this case, but sometimes I have been. So it's it's not a problem for me. As I said, I debate and talk anyone. People can disagree with my views, my tactics. I'm there to talk and I'm there to be criticised.
Well, wasn't it obvious you were going to get arrested? I mean, I talked to you before at the previous one. I said, Tommy, be careful. And then this happened. And I thought, well, that's what they want. They want him off the streets so he can't talk when these men are convicted or not. It was a kind of stupid thing to do, to fall into what they wanted. Don't get me wrong. After that, you were treated abysmally. And we'll go on to that in a moment. But I just wonder whether you regret it at all that you fell into their trap.
John, I've had this conversation recently with my son because, look, more people than ever spoke about the molestation, the rape and the grooming of young British girls and English girls at the hands of these jihadi rape gangs. More people than ever. The video of me talking about this had 5 million views over the weekend, yeah, over one weekend. Yeah. The whole world ended up talking about this, which is my goal. It's what I want to do, is raise awareness of what's happening in this country.
But was it worth putting yourself and your family through 2.5 months in prison? Was that the right thing to do as a father? And did you not ever, when you sat in that cell, think, hang on, I could have prejudiced this trial and these alleged monsters, careful what we're saying, could have got away with it. And therefore, I would have been betraying the actual victims I'm trying to help.
Okay, so I'll start on the first one. So about a week ago, when I was going to court, my son saw that I was possibly going back to jail. He saw it online and he was very upset.
How old is he, Tom?
He's nine.
Okay, go on.
And I've got a daughter that's 11 and another daughter that's seven. So I sat him down and explained to him that, son, you see your sister, there's lots of young girls her age that are being taken in this country and some terrible, terrible things are being done to them. Terrible things. Now, when I go back to court, I have an option to either play the establishment line where I'll walk out of court, or I'm going to read a statement in that court that's going to highlight and bring more awareness to what's happening to these young girls than I think ever before. Yeah. And I said, if I could do that, son, and I was taken away for weeks or months, yeah, if that happened, it means I'm not going to see you for months. But if just one girl, one 11-year-old girl like your sister, if one of their lives is protected and changed, what would you want me to do? If it meant a young girl, like your sister, is in a terrible, scared situation, and this awareness would just maybe change one girl, what would you want me to do? And that's asking a nine-year-old. He said, help the girl. So okay. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I need to do. And that's the way I view it. Yeah, I don't want to be in jail, and I want to be at home with my children. And when you talk about, would I risk prejudices in the trial? When I went outside that court, I was arrested on the Friday. I was sent to prison in a kangaroo court. Now, what I've done is I've got the transcripts from when I was arrested on the Friday. The next time the court re-entered was on the Tuesday. I've got the transcripts from that Tuesday, John. I've got them in black and white writing from everything that was said in court. Now, there's a discussion between Judge Marson, who's the man who sent me to prison, and the head of the CPS. And they both say, we have now watched Tommy Robinson's video in its entirety. And even if the jury watched it, there is nothing he says that could prejudice this trial. I've got that in black and white. Yet, I've had two charges added to me for the Old Bailey that are saying I could have possibly prejudiced the trial. Even though I've got this in black and white, what also come out in court.
Are you alleging then the establishment are definitely trying to stitch you up and get you back in nick? So if you are going to go, you may as well make a statement from the court so to kind of illustrate why you're making this sacrifice. It's your Nelson Mandela moment, isn't it?
No, completely, John. What it is is that weekend, on that Tuesday, Judge Marson, the judge that sentenced me to prison, was made aware, and I've got it in black and white transcripts, which I'll be identifying to the Old Bailey judge. He was made aware that three journalists that weekend breached the same reporting restriction that he sent me to prison for breaching. None of them have faced prosecution. One of them, Lizzie Dearden from The Independent, one of them actually refused to remove her article. Refused. Yeah, I've got it in black and white on their transcript. And she didn't breach one reporting restriction. She breached two. I was sent to prison for breaching Section 4 of the Reporting Restriction Act. Yeah? Now, if you read the law actually states, which I read before I got to court that day, the law states that a judge has no power to put reporting restriction on information that's already in the public domain.
Okay. Why did you plead guilty?
I didn't plead guilty, John. This is another
lie. Well, that's the report, Tommy. What's the truth?
No, the reason why I was released from prison was because I was not even asked to plead guilty or not guilty. I was also not told.
No, but it was reported that on that day, on that Friday, you pleaded guilty. Is that incorrect?
That is 100% factually incorrect. Okay. I did not plead.
You did not plead, and you got sent down within about 5 hours, yeah?
Yeah, actually within 10 minutes.
And is that why you say it's a kangaroo court, because they didn't even give you the opportunity to plead?
Well, the head judge in this country at the High Court, actually, if you read his report of what he said about Judge Marston and his actions that day, then it absolutely hammered it and tore it to pieces. He said that it was an unjust, unfair trial that showed prejudice towards me.
Okay, so why does that mean that you'll end up going back to prison at the Bailey in a couple of weeks' time? I don't understand.
Because that legal precedents show, yeah? So there was another case, a case of a gentleman called West, which is how the law works. It works off legal precedents.
Yeah, of course it does, yeah.
Now, under West's case, one thing was done illegal in his case, yeah, that meant his trial was prejudiced. Five were done in mine. Now, one was done in his case, and in his one, when it was done, he had his conviction quashed, like I did. He was not sent for a retrial. So why am I being sent for a retrial? A, that's one question. Why is it at the Old Bailey, before the head judge of the Old Bailey? This is for talking into an iPhone and reading facts that are already in the public domain. The rest of the cases at the Old Bailey are terrorism. It's the biggest court in our land. Yeah. It makes no sense. And then, John, when you go through this, there's 70 years of history. Never has any journalist ever been sent to prison for breaching any reporting order. And just so I can give you two cases. Rod Liddell breached a reporting restriction on the Stephen Lawrence murder trial, one of the most famous murder trials, racist murder trials in our country. And he almost claps the case. Now, he was taken to court for contempt at the same charge as me. He got a £4,000 fine. The Daily Mirror breached the Levi Bellingfield murder trial. Yeah. They actually had to discharge the jury. And then the victim, who the young child that was murdered, her family had to they had to go through another court case and another thing. Now, because of that, which is far worse in my case, because of that, even if I did, which I didn't, break the law, but because of that, they were given a £10,000 fine. Every case and every example previous to this, there has never been anyone sent to prison. I have spent 2.5 months in solitary confinement, held in the wrong categorisation, held in solitary confinement, which is illegal already, for a civil crime. It's a civil crime. The crime that they sent me to prison for is a civil crime.
How long do you think you're going to go down for this time, then?
It can be up to 2 years. I was already offered, if I pled guilty and I apologised, then I will not go to prison. And I'm sorry, but I can't plead guilty, which is what I said to my wife. I cannot do it. No matter what, I can't do it.
Hasn't she had enough for you, though, Tommy? You must be really getting on her proverbials.
Yeah, I said when I got my first phone call from HMP Hull, the first question I asked is, have you had enough yet? Because obviously this doesn't just affect me, it affects my entire family.
Of course.
But at the same time, John, again, I put things into perspective here. I look at young men who join our military or joined our armed forces. I spent 2.5 months in a prison cell. It caused me problems. It caused me issues when I come out. But the way I view it is young men go away and get bullets fired at them every day to stand up for what they want.
Okay, tell me what it was like in prison. Is it true that you only ate tinned tuna? You were scared that people were spitting in your food or worse? I mean, were you kept in total solitary? And was that your choice? And what about this thing about you were next to the prayer room? Is a lot of this hyperbole, or is it true?
No, it's 100% factual. I was in HMP Hull, where I was completely fine, completely settled. They didn't allow me to be put with the main prison population, even though Hull only has a 7% Muslim population, okay? They moved me to the hospital, where they held me separate to other prisoners. But what they did is, the prison officers would take me out of my cell for probably 3 or 4 hours a day. I'd talk to them, I'd socialise them, I'd have some normality with the prison staff, yeah? They'd take me out into the garden when they had their breaks, and I'd sit with them, yeah? So some normality. Because so people understand, in British prison systems, my offence, I should have been in an open prison, but you go to, your cell door gets unlocked at 8 o'clock in the morning and it gets locked at 6 o'clock at night. You work, you have the gym, you have snooker tables, you have computers, you have education, okay? I wasn't allowed any of those things in Hull, but I was still allowed out of my cell for 3 or 4 hours a day, and I was fine. They then moved me from Hull to Onley Prison. Onley has the largest Muslim population of any CCAP prison in our country. That is not a mistake. I then get to Onley. I'm forcefully put in segregation and solitary confinement. I did not ask for protection. I, not once, I actually asked every day to be taken out of solitary. And the reason I've done that, John, is because I spent 5 months on solitary confinement against my wishes again in 2012. When I come out of custody that time, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I never spoke publicly about that. Okay, it's all on my medical record. It's all now come out. The reason I didn't speak publicly about it is because, A, it's embarrassing. How can I try and compare something I have from being locked in a room to something soldiers get fighting in wars? So I've never spoke publicly about it. I've never wanted to. It's only because it's come out now on my medical records in my appeal that this is, and the prison service and the government are fully aware of my medical history and my medical records. So they know what putting me on solitary.
Were torturing you. Is that what you're saying?
100%. And then I did not see another prisoner from when I got put in Onley for over 2 months. I saw no one. I could speak to no one. No one. The only time they let me out myself from a shower, which is when you get your phone call, was between 12:30 and 1:30. My children at school, my wife's at work. I couldn't even speak to them. So all of this was orchestrated and organized in a way to put me in a position where they could mentally break me. There can be no other explanation, and I'm yet to see why the media are not asking the government or the prison service, why did you move him from Hull to Onley? Why was he held in these conditions? Because, John, you have to understand that I was not... So once I was brought and put on solitary confinement, you then don't get out of your cell. Your cell door opens and they hand you your food. My food is given there with my name on it. It's prepared by Muslims. 30 to 40% of the prison are Muslims. They're all shouting at me, how's your food, Tommy? You can get anything smuggled into a prison. If they want to get poison, if they want to get anything they wanted, you could get it smuggled in. I'm not going to die out in a cell through eating prison food because I was very aware of that. So, yeah, all I could eat was tuna, 6 tins of tuna a week.
So will you be suing for compensation? Very quickly on this, because I just want to get into more questions before we finish.
I have a legal meeting on Tuesday about 3 or 4 different cases like this.
Fair enough. Now, just before we let you go, what about these rumours? Will you join UKIP?
So UKIP, I think they've missed a ball here. And I respect Jeroboam. I respect Lord Pearson. I think that when I've sat down and listened to Jeroboam talk, I thought that's the first politician I've ever heard, other than Anne-Marie Waters as well, of course. But that's the first politician I've heard that would make me go out and vote.
OK.
So, yeah, I would join UKIP. I do support Jeroboam. Under his leadership.
But they won't
under
let you Nigel at the Farage, moment because of the rules. Go on.
Because of the rules, but they don't have rules. I could have been an ex-IRA fighter and I could join UKIP. I could be an ex-Islam. No, it's the truth. There's no rule to stop that.
Yeah, okay.
That's
you will join, let me get this clear, you will join if they want you.
If they did, I would join. If they don't make that decision, like when I'm going to have a meeting with them, then I'd evaluate other situations because I believe there's a movement that's grown and it needs to be politicised.
Okay.
And if UKIP are willing to do that, then brilliant. If they're not, then it needs politicising.
Would you set up your own political party or maybe join with Anne-Marie Waters?
Possibly. The only answer to this is a political movement that gives the British public an opportunity and a chance to vote for a party that's going to put the British public first.
OK, we've got to finish now, but final question. Jason Farrell, the man who interviewed you on Sky, should he and his producer be sacked?
Of course, 100%. I think he's gone into hiding, hasn't he? He hasn't appeared on one thing since that. He hasn't tweeted.
Let me clarify, you're calling for Jason Farrell to be sacked from Sky News?
He should be sacked and Sky News should be prosecuted. That's the reality. They have invented a headline. They have slandered me across the world and said I said things I didn't. It's unbelievable. The epitome of fake news.
I promise you, Tommy, that here on Sputnik International, Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, we will send out the whole of this programme. There'll be no editing, there'll be no cutting, because this programme is about people with controversial views being given the opportunity to expand on them. Tommy, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us here on Shooting from the Lip. That was Tommy Robinson. What did you make of that? Next week, we'll have another guest. Will he be as controversial as Tommy? Well, I can't necessarily promise that, but what I can promise you is they will be given the time and the opportunity to expand on their views, something which doesn't happen in the British media anymore. You have been listening to Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Back next week.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.